Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back. Second hour of the show. One thing I wanted to mention just briefly here, I went over to some new friends at St. Louis Automatic Door in Fenton, not too far from where I live. They're going to start doing some sponsoring of the program in January and February. They do commercial industrial doors, service installations. So basically those card access doors, and this is going to become big, you know, if you think about it, revolving doors, the no contact doors. So, you know, just the doors that slide open, if you will. The Matt Lauer door. Perhaps. I don't know if they'd want to sell it as that way. But, you know, you can be in your office and the door opens automatically. Anyway, they were telling me, I got a nice tour of the facility, and they're looking for some commercial door technicians. So they have openings right now. And you can go to stlouisautomaticdoor.com if you'd like to find out more. They'll train you, but here's what I have from Shannon. She says, if you're well-versed in all manufacturers for sliding, swinging, and revolving doors, it is a American Association of Automatic Door Manufacturing certification that is preferred, and you can call them for inquiries. Go to the website, stlouisautomaticdoor.com. And Shannon knows, I think I get a percentage on that when they hire someone. So that's, we're all good with that. 307 at KMOX. They have a great operation, great facility over there. And right across the street from my friends at Closet Factory. We worked with them for a long time, Cassie Alsbach and the gang. All right, Dave, let me go to some of this new audio here this afternoon. I've only seen this in print and on Twitter, and I've not heard the actual clips. But in Georgia, and just to kind of recap briefly here, Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States. Some people are unwilling to accept that right now. I'm all for looking into voting irregularities, questions that have come up. For the most part, and when I say the most part, 99% of any irregularities that have come up so far have been proven to be not irregularities. Now, you have some new claims yesterday, these guys who say they drove the trucks and there were ballots and pallets and all. Well, let's look into it. Let's investigate it. But even Bill Barr said yesterday that up until this point, there is no information. Oh, Mark, you're just in denial. Your head is in the sand. Somebody called me yesterday. Somebody went on the Facebook page. God bless him. And he's probably still listening, even though he ripped me. He actually took the time to go on to the show Facebook page and call me Mark Rear End. Now, that was an insult that was hurled when I was a second grader, you know, in elementary school. So that was super mature, although we know where the inspiration comes from. This is very important, and here's why. The election is over. The election in Georgia is not over. There are two Senate races that are very important to the future of this country, and that's not overstating it. If you want to see the AOC Cori Bush nonsense, I'll give you a preview of that here in just a second with Cori Bush. She goes on Colbert last night, and then Barack Obama challenges her on defund the police, and she doubles down. We'll get to that in a second. But you have people right now, Sidney Powell, who's becoming a big lunatic, and Lynn Wood, who I like, Attorney Lynn Wood. He went to bat for Brett Kavanaugh and for the Covington Catholic kids, and Lynn's been a guest on the show. But they're acting like crazy people right now. Here's what they're telling people in Georgia today.
If Kelly Loeffler wants your vote, if David Perdue wants your vote, they've got to earn it. They've got to demand publicly, repeatedly, consistently, Brian Kemp call a special session of the Georgia legislature. And if they do not do it, if Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue do not do it, they have not earned your vote. Don't you give it to them. Why would you go back and vote in another rigged election? For God's sakes, fix it. You got to fix it before we'll do it again. They've already got 800,000 absentee ballots.
Fix what? That's what people are going to need. So you're going to need to show me what we need to fix. Well, Mark, there's this, there's that. There's no evidence. There's hearsay evidence, okay? I'm not an attorney. I don't play one on TV. But there's no actual evidence. Now, if some evidence comes forward, we'll take a look at it. Well, you're acting like we shouldn't even take a look at it. No, let's investigate. There have been multiple lawsuits. They've lost every one, I think, except for one so far. So I don't know what the track record is supposed to be, but I think it needs to be a little bit better than that if we're going to overturn the results of the election. Wow, Mark, the election is not certified. I still have people telling me that they've never heard a president referred to as president-elect before the certification of the results. I've worked every election night for the last 40 years almost. I think 40 years, 35. I've called president-elect to every one of those people except for George W. Bush or Al Gore because that one was hung up. So that's not anything new. Challenges aren't anything new. You can have challenges and legal challenges. I think this is really dangerous. Here's Sidney Powell.
I agree that you will not vote at all until your vote is secure. I think I would encourage all Georgians to make it known that you will not vote at all until your vote is secure. And I mean that regardless of party. We can't live in a republic, a free republic, unless we know our votes are legal and secure.
Let's keep in mind this is the woman who put someone on an affidavit in Wisconsin that was not supposed to be on the affidavit. There was a claim from Michigan of an affidavit that was signed in one of her lawsuits for a county that had voting irregularities in Edison County. There is no such thing as Edison County, Michigan. So this is what I said to a friend who was trying to convince me that there is massive voter fraud this morning. I am not a down the rabbit hole kind of guy. And if there's something that goes down the rabbit hole, it's going to take me down. You're going to have to prove it to me. And you have to show me evidence, not just this person says this happened in the middle of the night, or this happened with this vote drop. Where did it happen? How did it happen? And were the ballots actually counted? And was, for example, was Mark Reardon, did he cast a vote if he lives in Georgia? Did I cast a vote in Georgia? There's a ballot that has my name on it. Is there another ballot that has my name on it? Or are there 30 other ballots that have my name on it? Show us that. Because up until this point, there is none of that. There's none of that whatsoever. And now you have threats on the elected officials down there. And I think this is revolting. And for those of you who want to stick by this narrative, you're going to, I was told time and time again, Reardon, if you don't support Trump, this was in 2016, it's your fault. It is your fault if Hillary Clinton is elected. It's you guys who don't like Trump, right? Well, no, it's the fault of the behavior of the president. So what's going to happen here is we're going to put the whole future of the country on the line with radical policies because of made up claims about voter fraud that don't even exist. That's the path we're taking right now. And it's kind of sickening. And I think it's ridiculous that more Republicans aren't speaking out about it. These are Republicans in Georgia. These are allies of Kelly Loeffler that are being attacked right now. I wonder how they're going to look at this right now. The Republican candidates are like, oh, great. You just told a good portion of our base that might put us over the top that they shouldn't even vote in this runoff. Here's Gabriel Sterling yesterday. This went viral because it's pretty serious. He's talking about some of the threats and some of the things that people are saying about the people who work in his office.
I'm going to do my best to keep it together because it has all gone too far. All of it. Joe DeGeneva today asked for Chris Krebs, a patriot who ran CISA, to be shot. A 20-something tech in Gwinnett County today has death threats and a noose put out saying he should be hung for treason because he was transferring a report on batches from an EMS to a county computer so he could read it. It has to stop. Mr. President, You have not condemned these actions or this language. Senators, you have not condemned this language or these actions. This has to stop. We need you to step up, and if you're going to take a position of leadership, show some.
Well, I mean, I think that that's a little ambitious at this point. There was a little bit more of the outburst of anger from the Republican Georgia Elections Commissioner. Here's what he said.
My boss, Secretary Raffensperger, his address is out there. They have people doing caravans in front of their house. They've had people come onto their property. Trisha, his wife of 40 years, is getting sexualized threats through her cell phone. It has to stop. This is elections. This is the backbone of democracy, and all of you who have not said a damn word are complicit in this. It's too much. Yes, fight for every legal vote. Go through your due process. We encourage you. Use your First Amendment. That's fine. Death threats. Physical threats. Intimidation. It's too much. It's not right. They've lost the moral high ground to claim that it is.
He is the voting system implementation manager, Gabriel Sterling, in Georgia. And here is Mr. Raffensperger commenting on some of this. Brad Raffensperger, Republican Secretary of State, kind of piggybacking on the comments from yesterday.
About 110 counties that have finished their work. In our continuing conversations with the counties, we anticipate all of them will make our midnight deadline. We have seen no substantial changes to the results from any county so far. And that's what we expected. As many of us have said, we wish that our guy would have won the election, but it doesn't look like our guy has won the election. And it looks like Vice President Biden will be carrying Georgia, and he is our president-elect.
I know people don't want to hear that, but you can't, the way our system works is you can't disagree with it. Many of you are doing exactly what the Democrats did 4 years ago, and you don't even see it, which is baffling and confusing, but perhaps something shouldn't be this confusing with where we are right now. I just think it's shameful right now. And if people don't start focusing, and I told Senator Hawley this, if there's not a focus, and my sense is that in the next week or so, patience is going to run out, maybe in the next 24 hours after seeing what Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell told voters down there. And if that's the path that the president's going to take, the Democrats are going to have control, and you better get used to saying Dick Durbin's name more often and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Total Information PM's coming up at 4. We have an audio cut of the day. We're going to head to Rome, Italy next with Linda Garofano, who's a tour guide we've become friends with. Just a sense of where they are in Italy right now with Christmas coming up in 3 weeks. It's coming up next on KMOX.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on KMOX.
So, not that I want to give an indication that I'm not focused 100% plus on my radio show, but I tuned in, you know, at the top of the hour, I put Channel 5 on DirecTV, KSDK, and there is no football game. There was. I saw a couple of plays, and then there's something that says we hope to avoid any interruption of this channel, but we can't. And there's a, you know, you've seen some of the scrolls if you have DirecTV about Channel 5. So they took Channel 5 off DirecTV. If you have Charter or some of the other services, I think you'll be okay. But no KSDK on Channel 5. You're asked to visit TVPromise.com, DirecTV using their negotiating strength. Channel 5, get it done, okay? You have all these voice fans out there that want to see the finale. It's 3:22. We've been from the very beginning kind of taking some trips overseas to just see where the coronavirus is in Europe and other locations compared to here. Linda Garofano has been a great resource for us. She's a tour guide. Unfortunately, her whole livelihood has been put on hold because of the pandemic. She's in Rome, joins us late in the evening, our afternoon here in St. Louis on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Linda, how are you this afternoon?
Hi, I'm well, thank you. Things in Italy are slowly progressing, I have to say. I am in a good position because I'm in Rome. And in Rome, the situation seems to be under control. Other parts of Italy are a little bit struggling, not only the north this time, but also the southern region. So that makes it, that calls for some major intervention of the government. But they're talking about releasing a little bit for Christmas. So it seems like the situation is slowly progressing in a good direction.
Wow, that's good. Well, that's the opposite of what's happening in the States right now, because things are not very good right now. They're surging, even here in St. Louis, maybe even higher than we've had in the spring. But I'm looking at a Wall Street Journal piece that says, as COVID-19 roars back in Europe, governments get tougher on rule breakers. So, you know, you and I have talked about this before. We don't have these lockdowns here, and I don't know if Americans would kind of put up for it. But if you go out, for example, in Italy, you have to have a face mask on even if you're outside, right? And they'll crack down. Will they give you a ticket if you don't have it on?
Yeah. Absolutely right, yes. Even here in Rome, even if Rome is, you know, they have divided the color, they have color-coded the country. And okay. So we are divided into red regions, which is the worst, orange, which is the halfway in between, which means a partial lockdown. And then there is yellow, like Rome, which is like nothing is closed. Everything is working apart from except schools, some schools and gyms and swimming pools, theaters and movie theaters. Those are closed, but the rest is up and running. And the obligation of masks is the same all throughout the country. So when you're in public, you have to wear a mask, public transportation as well as walking around. And at 10 p.m., everybody has to be home. And at 6 p.m., every restaurant closes, but they can still do the deliveries.
So what's the fine if you're caught? Maybe there's different fines for different violations, but what kind of penalty is there?
Honestly, I have to be honest, I got caught once just because I could not breathe and I had to put my mask down and I didn't get fined. I mean, they are very reasonable. They kind of come to you and they say, listen, this is serious. You have to wear a mask. So please do wear a mask right now. So far, I didn't hear of anyone being fined. But, you know, for example, when you have those situations like people that go in public areas and they just show themselves not wearing a mask just for, you know, to do a public Facebook Live or something like that. I know that those ones they do get fined, but I have no idea about the amount.
It's encouraging to hear that some things are getting better in Italy. And I know that there's some theory that one of the reasons that Italy might be faring a little bit better than, and I don't know how the numbers really match up right now with Germany and Spain and England, but because you were hit so hard in the spring and because so many people saw people they know and friends and family members die, that they're being perhaps more cautious than other Europeans. Do you agree with that?
I do partially agree. I have to say that in the beginning, the Italians were more receptive to all of this, all these regulations, but I do see more arguments going on right now. So compared to March and April, I see more people disappointed. They really don't believe that this is going to work anymore. And that is, of course, it's causing quite a bit of turmoil, actually. So there is a difference with March. I mean, if you look at the numbers, they're kind of scary, but they are lowering every day. So it is It is a proof, it's an evidence that every single time they do close something or partially close it, then there is it shows in the numbers going down. So now the big deal here is Christmas. You know, Italians are, they're all about family and getting together. And now the big argument is what is going to happen to us. So we're waiting for Thursday. Thursday is the big day that they're going to announce suggestions, because they cannot turn them into regulations, but they are going to suggest what is a good practice for Christmas, unless you are in a red area, in a red zone. A red zone has actual obligations.
Now, when you say they can't turn them into regulations, explain that. What do you mean by that?
Well, you cannot tell a family you cannot be more than six in the house, you know, or you have to wear face masks and you have to separate children from elderly people in the house. So that
I'm glad to hear it. Well, you know, that's what I thought you meant. But here's what's funny about that. There are people in this country, Gavin Newsom in California and others that are trying to tell people to do exactly just that. So even in Italy, that's not possible. You know, we just had Thanksgiving, and there is a big fear that in 3 weeks, right before Christmas, we're going to peak with huge death numbers, and that people weren't careful enough. So I understand the concerns about Christmas. We have those here as well. People want to get on with their lives, but it's still pretty tentative out there. Linda, thank you so much for the update, and I hope you guys get to enjoy Christmas as much as possible in Rome.
Yes, and you too, and you too. Thank you.
Just a tough time, and she always sounds so positive, even though she, and I don't know, I've not gotten nosy about what, you know, what the government's doing for tour guides, but that's her livelihood. You know, the tour guides have nothing to do right now, and it's probably at least 9 months away from any kind of serious influx into Rome or the rest of Italy. We'll find out, though, as we move forward. We did get some good news, though, from Dr. Randall Williams this afternoon from the Missouri Health Department on the vaccine distribution and some of those plans. We'll have, if you missed it, a little plan or a little portion of that coming up later this afternoon at 4:50. You can also use the radio.com rewind function to listen from about an hour from now. The
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Well, it's going to take a hell of a lot more than a pandemic, a global pandemic, to stop El Monstero from doing shows at the pageant in University City. Isn't it, John Pisoni? There's no way. You're not going to be stopped by this coronavirus thing. How are you this afternoon?
I'm pretty good, Mark. How are you doing, man? It's been a while.
I'm doing okay, but, man, there is nothing that I miss more than live music, really, and seeing live sports in person. It's devastating. Right. You know, I have a lot of friends and people who their livelihoods is playing music, like yourself and the guys in El Monstero, and it's devastating. I don't even know what to say to you anymore, because this is at least you're going to get off the ground and do some shows, which a lot of groups and singer-songwriters acts can't even do right now.
Yeah, for sure. I've been lucky with you know, several of the other bands that I have that are mainly tributes, obviously. But, you know, the pageant has tried this little sort of experiment, I guess, and so far so good. You know, we haven't had any issues. And apparently for the people that have been going to the shows there, it's actually quite a pleasant experience. So that's kind of nice, you know.
All right, so tell me, how's it going to work? Not as many shows over the Christmas, but still an opportunity. And, you know, in a weird way, this is what I said in the spring, John, when I started playing golf under some of the pandemic rules, because they were spreading the tee times further and, you know, one person per cart, which, by the way, that's awesome. You know, so that was like a weird little benefit. So in this particular case, you're not going to be jammed up against everybody that you normally would be at the pageant. You'll have a little breathing room, and maybe that's going to be cool.
Yes, I mean, if like I said, the other two that I've done so far are the template for how this is going to work. Well, we're actually doing more shows. You know, we're doing 12 nights, but we're doing 12 nights at a 332 person capacity. So, you know, it's taking us 12 nights to do the same amount of ticket sales we would do over, like, say, a Friday, Saturday. So, you know, when we normally do 6 nights. So obviously, it's quite a bit different in terms of the amount of people through the door, but. For instance, if you're sitting in the balcony, the tickets can only be bought in like groups of 2 or 4. So, so basically you will only ever be with a group that you are comfortable with. So if you bought 4 tickets, somewhere on the floor or somewhere around will be 4 seats together with really no one, even remotely close to you. I mean, there's definitely no one within 8 to 10 feet of any other group. So it's like, you know, there's groups of 2 and 4 seats spread out all throughout the lower level of the venue. And then in the balcony, there might be 4 seats together, nobody in the row behind you, 4 seats behind that. So it's very, very spread out. But apparently it's very easy to get a drink. It's easy to get to the bathroom. You don't have anyone standing in front of you, you know. Now, obviously it's not rowdy though. You know, that's the one rub, is that, you know, when you're playing shows like I, you know, get to do, I'm lucky enough to get to do, it's nice to have those people right in front of the stage, and you kind of feed off that energy. It's definitely a different vibe from the stage, but I mean, we're still gonna put on the show. The only difference for people that have seen it a bunch of times, that know that, you know, we normally have a lot of people involved in the show in terms of auxiliary performers and things like that. Obviously, we have to just keep the number of people in the building down, so much of that will probably be done with video as opposed to actual. Like, we might have the same performers, but you might be watching them on a video screen instead of watching them live on stage. But, I mean, other than that, you know, I mean, we've got to rehearse tonight. We're rehearsing, and it's going to be just, I think, just as good of an El Monstero show as you would ever see. So,
Well, I have no doubt about that.
And I think
that the people. Yeah, absolutely. Look, you got people in not every stadium around the country seeing football games and some during, you know, the World Series. So I think it's a different fan experience. Now, you guys did the show. Let me ask you about this. I didn't make it out there, John, over the summer of July. You did one of the drive-in shows too, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
How was that?
That actually worked out really well as well. I mean, here's what I want to say, Mark. It's kind of funny because, when going through this, I'm always a little nervous when people keep saying things about being at the new normal, because there's a part of me that's like, well, wait a minute. When things get back to normal, I would like it to get back to, I would like to get back to full stadium sports events and concerts and all that. But anyway, there are some aspects of it that I can see some people walking away going, well, I rather enjoyed that, because it was basically like those outdoor shows, those especially those drive-in types, were almost like everybody having their own private party. You know what I'm saying? Like you basically, you brought your vehicle, you parked in an area that no one else could enter your little square. You could bring whatever you wanted. You wanted to bring a bucket of wings or some pizzas or, gigantic cooler of beer, and you just sat and watched the show. So there was something kind of cool to that. Like I could see certain shows being like that. I mean, I'm not saying I don't want to have shows at the amphitheater, but I can see the idea of
a different experience.
A drive-in show.
Right.
Well, the cover band of Joe Dirt, we actually did one of those that was out at the Mills as well, where it was a film. It was a movie and a show. So, like, Joe Dirt played for a little bit, and then everybody stuck around like a drive-in. It was a giant screen, and they watched Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So it was kind of,
Yeah, I remember. That's awesome.
That was kind of a fun idea, too. I think something like that may stick around. But I definitely don't ever want it to be a substitute for a real rock show. You know what I mean?
Dave Klein, my producer, who's back in the studio, John, he went. Dave, you went and saw that show?
Yeah, I went
to the
Rubberport show with El Monstero, and it was like a tailgate meets a concert, so it was great. You got to bring your own food and still listen to music, enjoy the music, and talk to your friends at the same time while, not taking away anything from the show either, which was great. So I loved it personally.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I think that there are definitely aspects of that might stick around even after it's all said and done. But, I mean, I'm holding out hope that we can get back to normal at some point. But, it's still, I think, was it Dave was just saying that, there was something cool about it. Considering that was all we could do, it worked out just fine. And to the best of my knowledge, there were no issues, nobody was.
Yeah,
there wasn't a massive outbreak of COVID or anything like that afterwards. So the precautions that were taken certainly seemed to work. And that's definitely been the case so far at the pageant. I just want to say that, too, because the last two that I did, those last two tributes I did, the Led Zeppelin and the Tom Petty, they sell 332 tickets and there's no flipping them. You can't sell them again. You know what I mean? You can't scalp them or do anything like that. Once you buy the tickets, you have to show up and show and, put your name down and come on in. Well, I think with the fear that existed around the COVID aspect, there were just several people at all those shows that just didn't show up. And so those seats were just empty.
Right.
So, I mean, I just did the Led Zeppelin thing that was last weekend. And I mean, that was, I think we had about 250 people at each show as opposed to the 332 or 334 that were sold. So, and those were just people that bought tickets, but just didn't come. Now I understand that. I want to be clear that I really don't think that there doesn't seem to be an issue for the people that were there.
That's good. That's great to hear.
My wife was there and she said she felt completely comfortable. So there wasn't
now,
really anybody
just,
very
I got,
close, you know.
John, I'm up against, I got like 40 seconds left, but are any of these shows for you guys right now sold out because I think tickets are still limited, right?
Yeah, they are. A couple of them are sold out, but not all of them. There are still some tickets available. Yeah, I believe seven of the 12 nights or eight of the 12 nights are sold out, but there are still tickets available. So, yeah.
Ticketmaster.com, go to pageant.com. Yeah, John Pisoni, enjoy the holidays, even though it's going to be different. Stay safe out there. I have very, very big concerns for my music brethren and sisters, just because mentally, not doing your art live as much as you're used to, that's got to be really, really difficult. So hang in there. My best to the rest of the gang, and we'll talk soon, John.
Sounds great. I appreciate that, Mark. You too. Have a good Christmas.
3:48 at CAMOX. Go see El Monstero at the pageant. I think different is sometimes kind of cool, especially for an act like that. You'll enjoy it. Traffic is coming up.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Former President Barack Obama has made some comments that have not pleased members of the squad, including new incoming Congresswoman Cori Bush from the 1st District in Missouri. He says that criminal justice reformers lost a big audience with all that defund the police rhetoric.
I guess you can use a snappy slogan like defund the police, but you know you've lost a big audience the minute you say it, which makes it a lot less likely that you're actually going to get the changes you want done. But if you instead say, let's reform the police department so that everybody's being treated fairly, you know, divert young people from getting into crime. And if there's a homeless guy, can maybe we send a mental health worker there instead of an armed unit that could end up resulting in a tragedy? Suddenly, a whole bunch of folks who might not otherwise listen to you are listening to you. So the key is deciding, do you want to actually get something done or do you want to feel good among the people you already agree with?
Nope. He got it all wrong, according to Cori Bush. With all due respect, Mr. President, let's talk about losing people. We lost Michael Brown Jr. We lost Breonna Taylor. We're losing our loved ones to police violence. I guess she's talking about all the kids that have died in St. Louis. Maybe I'm confused. But she says emphatically to the former president, it's not a slogan. It's a mandate for keeping our people alive. Defund the police. Ariana Pressley and others joined in. There's no sanity left on either side, I don't think. Sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.